Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOA 103.9 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. Of course, that right now is the hot topic with the deadline officially gone. Now we got the non-waiver deadline is now passed. Now we can wait on the waiver deadline. We have Steve Bordstein from Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico joining us right now over the phone to talk about the aftermath of the trade deadline. Steve, as always, I appreciate you taking out the time to join us. Thank you.
Happy to do it. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. This is the fun time of the year. You know, we're just a few weeks away from football. Baseball hits its high point for the year. It's a great time to be associated with sports.
No question about it. And, with the non-waiver trade deadline now in the books, a record day, 18 trades made yesterday, and most of them made within like the last hour, which that always makes it fun. I specifically delayed going to the gym yesterday afternoon until about 10 minutes after the original trade deadline had passed. I'm like, okay, just to make sure I don't have to like do anything on Facebook or social media, I can actually go out now and go on with the rest of my day. But you had to wait till the last minute.
You did, and one of the names I think we both were surprised was not moved yesterday was Yasiel Puig, and then you have the news that breaks yesterday that the Dodgers will demote him to Oklahoma City in AAA. The Dodgers basically told him yesterday, Steve, you're either going to be traded or you're going down to the minors. I know how Puig is going to handle this. You know how Puig is going to handle this. Were you stunned that the Dodgers did not find a place for him yesterday?
I was stunned that no one took a flyer. I mean, because even if you go on the assumption that he's a clubhouse distraction, even if you go on the assumption that he's somewhat polarizing, somewhat divisive, maybe everyone else knows so much more than we do, which is possible. I mean, the Dodgers do a really good job, especially with the new management there. The Dodgers do a really good job keeping things internal. I think that's one of the big differences between Dave Roberts and Don Mattingly is I think Dave Roberts does a very good job keeping things in-house. We've heard a lot about the distractions of Yasiel Puig when Don Mattingly is the manager. We don't hear a lot of them now, but apparently things are so bad that they didn't even want him near the team, like the last couple of days here in preparation for their trip to face the Rockies today, tomorrow, and Thursday. They didn't even want him around the team. So there must be something that everyone else knows that we don't, which doesn't surprise me. Yasiel Puig, you and I have talked about it before. We're both Dodgers fans, so I get it, and I get the idea that he's a distraction. But the idea that nobody would even just send the Dodgers just a couple of prospects indicates to me that he's got to have some serious issues. And one of the things you and I talked about it, and I think it relates here. You can't take a kid from nothing to handing him the keys to a Maserati and not expect there to be consequences.
So has this become the most difficult part of Andrew Friedman's job? And again, you and I have talked about this several times. I've been very critical of Andrew Friedman since taking over, which was, in all fairness, a very difficult job to begin with. But does this become the most confusing and difficult aspect of what he has in front of him over the next several months?
Oh, absolutely, especially if he can't get moved, especially if he can't get moved into the offseason. If he's still on the roster, by this time as we approach playoff time and whatever, if he's still there, I mean, how bad a situation is that going to be during the offseason? Because essentially, you've got a free agent, and someone's just going to pick him up for a song. I hate the idea that we're going to wake up one morning, look at the transaction thing, and just see his name. We just cut him. Like, how disturbing would that be after the 2 years, 3 years of Yasiel Puig on this roster, and suddenly you just let him go and because you just don't care? But yes, I think this does speak a lot to the management and what they've tried to do here. It's a huge public relations disaster. Because let's face it, they put a lot of money, they put a lot of emphasis, and they put a lot of marketing time into Yasiel Puig. They put a lot of time and effort into promoting him as the next this, the next that, and it turns out he's none of those things. And for that to have backfired in such a way that, they're telling him, we're either demoting you or we're trading you, and that Dave Roberts' comment yesterday was, you know, him not being at the stadium was, quote, him following instructions, end quote. That's Dave Roberts saying that. That means that he got that from management, which means they think so little of him right now, and they're so completely, you know, disenfranchised with him right now, that with the Dodgers sitting in first place in the wild card race and two games back of the hated San Francisco Giants, they're willing to part with all of that because in the midst of a playoff race, in the midst of a pennant chase, they're willing to part with that because they just don't want to deal with him.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, I want to talk about the Texas Rangers. They were obviously the big winners yesterday. They grabbed Jonathan Lucroy, who had axed a deal earlier in the last week, to go to Cleveland. They also grabbed Carlos Beltran. They did give up a lot yesterday, but at the same time, they're going all in this year. Didn't really help out the void as far as pitching goes. They just got a couple of starting pitchers that I think could be relied on come the postseason. But one thing is for certain, they are the most solid team 1 through 9 now in not only the American League, but I think in Major League Baseball.
Oh, no question. I mean, you look at that lineup top to bottom. I mean, you even look at some of like the role player guys like Mitch Moreland, who hit a walk off the other night. And you look at Elvis Andrus and just the guys in that lineup right now. 1 through 9. That is one of the most stacked lineups in baseball. It reminds me a lot of what we saw with the Toronto Blue Jays and just the kind of that Nash lineup. And, you know, it's the idea, we always hear it, is pitching wins championships. Well, maybe not so much. If you look at, you know, what I think wins championships is guys who can frustrate starting pitchers. And what we see in the American League, or at least the way I see the American League going is right now, is you've got two legitimate starting pitchers on each of the teams that are currently leading divisions right now. You've got two legitimate starting pitchers in Cleveland. You've got two legitimate starting pitchers in Texas. And and depending on who wins the American League East, you've got two or three reliable pitchers in either Baltimore or Boston. And I think Toronto's kind of, you know, falling their way out of it a little bit. We'll find out more about them, obviously, later. But what's intriguing the most to me about these pitchers is you can beat these pitchers. And you know how you do it? You get guys at the plate who are going to just foul balls off and force starting pitchers to up their pitch count. Because each of these teams has, A, not deep starting rotations, and B, suspect bullpens. And so long as you can run a starting pitcher's count into the 60s or 70s by the fourth or fifth innings, turn this game into a battle of bad bullpens, you're looking at games, if you get a Red Sox-Rangers American League Championship Series, you might as well just have lunch and dinner for that game, because it's going to take 6 hours with all the pitching changes. You think Rob Manfred doesn't like the pitching changes now in Major League Baseball? He's going to hate them around postseason time.
Right, right. Well, let's stick with the AL, a team that is a bit out of it right now, the Chicago White Sox. I believe they're 7 games back right now of the wild card spot in the American League. They did not move on from Chris Sale yesterday. Now, during that last commercial break, I asked you off air, Steve, if you thought, what was the deal here? What does a guy have to do to get traded? You brought up Robin Ventura. And apparently, you know, and I know this goes way, way back. We talked about the Adam LaRoche situation on the show yesterday and the turn of events that has really taken place in Chicago over the last 4 to 5 months. What a dumpster fire of a season it's been. And even with that being said, this team is still within striking distance. It's actually fairly amazing.
Right, and you asked the question, what does a guy have to do to get traded? What does a manager have to do to get fired? I mean, look at the Robin Ventura situation. Is there a more dysfunctional manager in Major League Baseball history that isn't named Bobby Valentine? That's my question. Is you look at the Adam LaRoche situation from earlier this year and the complete mishandling of that. And who was the guy who spoke out most vehemently in defense of Adam LaRoche? It was Chris Sale. And it took all of 4 months for Chris Sale to go from being the voice of reason in a clubhouse that appeared to be divided about whether or not a 13-year-old kid could be in the clubhouse. It took him 4 months from being that guy to the guy who now runs around like a lunatic shredding uniforms in the locker room. I don't think this was about Chris Sale getting traded. I don't think Chris Sale was ever going to be traded. I don't think Chris Sale has any desire to be traded. I think Chris Sale wants to be in Chicago. I think Chris Sale likes the team. I think Chris Sale and this entire organization is so vehemently against Robin Ventura. I think this comes down to everything to management. If you wanted to talk about a mutiny between the Adam LaRoche situation and the Chris Sale situation, I think it's a complete mutiny. Now, Is it a train wreck? Yes. Can it be fixed? It's going to require Robin Ventura going away because he's clearly not the guy they want. Or it's going to require the general manager of this team going away. Someone needs to change in the front office. And again, you mentioned them being within striking distance. I would love to see them in the postseason just because I'd love to just be a witness to watching the dumpster fire continue. And that's what's sad about it, is that the season's going to end and they're not going to be in the playoffs. We should have regular updates, like a reality show. It's like Keeping Up with the White Sox. That's what it should be called.
I want your honest reaction to the news when it broke that Chris Sale had been scratched because he went around the locker room and cut up the throwback jerseys. What was Steve Bortstein's reaction to that report?
My reaction to it was, first it was, okay, I understand the uniform part of it. I understood it. And here's why. Because Chris Sale, if you've ever watched him pitch, he does have a very jerky motion. His extension on his arm and his shoulder, it almost looks unhuman the way he throws a pitch. So I understand it. But my first reaction was, if you knew, which apparently they did, apparently management knew, Robin Ventura knew, everyone knew that you didn't want him to, that he didn't want to wear this uniform, then just scratch him from the starter, schedule it for the next day so that he doesn't go all homicidal maniac on a bunch of uniforms in the locker room. You sit him down a week before and go, hey, you know what, dude, I know you don't want to pitch on that in that crappy uniform or whatever, but we're just going to push your start back a day, and you can just hang out with the wife and kids at home or just sit in the bullpen and just hang out for the day. You avoid all of this if you just flip-flop starts. That's all you have to do. Flip-flop starts. This never happens.
I would pay nearly any amount of money to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room when Chris Sale was going locker to locker cutting jerseys.
Oh, yeah. That would have been, that's must-see television right there, is to watch him, you know, turn into what, essentially, like, you know, the Norman Bates of a locker room, you know, cutting up uniforms. You imagine him with the sound of Psycho playing in the background. You imagine him doing that. And I want it to be that crazy. I don't want to be methodical. I want him to have walked into that locker room like a maniac, like Jason from Friday the 13th movies, just shredding uniforms like a lunatic, like something out of a horror movie. Because at least then my impression of Chris Sale and my idea of Chris Sale just moves up exponentially.
Steve, last question before I let you go. Give me the big winner from the trade deadline outside of the Texas Rangers, because we already talked about them. And then give me the big loser of the day as well.
I'll give it the big winner, the New York Yankees. And it sounds crazy because they gave up a lot. But clearly, Brian Cashman believes in the farm system that he's got. And for down the road, it may not happen now, obviously. They're quitting on this season. They pulled the plug on this season. And they're going to make even bigger moves. The name Alex Rodriguez is coming up in the next couple of days here. He's done. And what they're doing now is they are building for the future. And it may not happen next year. It's going to be a couple of years. But within 3 to 5 years, the New York Yankees are going to be back, and they're going to be better than ever, and it's going to be with names that you've never heard of before unless you follow their farm system. So, to me, what they're doing is clearing house, and what they're doing is building for the future, and to me, that's a big win. I love teams that do this. I love this type of move. It's what the Texas Rangers have done. It's what the Kansas City Royals have done. It's what the Yankees are doing now. And you're going to hear Brian Cashman's name in the next 3 to 5 years as general manager of the year in Major League Baseball. Biggest loser, I think it's the Pittsburgh Pirates. How do you have a team sitting this much in contention that does nothing? Even the Colorado Rockies. I mean, you could argue what, they're 4 games out of the wild card right now in the National League, and they did nothing. And they've got talent. They've got guys on their roster who can be dealt. You've got Carlos Gonzalez in the middle of a contract. You've got guys in that team who can clearly be dealt. They need arms desperately in Colorado, and they did absolutely nothing. So I would argue that Pittsburgh and Colorado were the big losers, I think, yesterday.
Steve Bortstein, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He is the host of First Sports. Steve, tell the listeners where they can find you online and listen to your show, First Sports.
The show First Sports airs Mondays through Fridays, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, obviously, on our iHeartRadio app. And you can download the iHeartRadio app right now by going to our website at foxsports1340.com. You can follow me on Twitter at fox1340am. You can also find our show's fan page over on Facebook at First Sports with Steve Bortstein, and again, in addition to the regular show Monday through Friday morning, also do a horse racing show on Saturdays and Sundays. We're getting close to the Breeders' Cup coming up in November. That show is called The Fast Track, and it airs 10 a.m. Eastern, and you can also listen to it live on iHeartRadio at our website at foxsports1340.com.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you so much for the time.
Anytime, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, we're going to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.